North Rock Podcast.
What we've been talking about is being on the great adventure. Today, we're talking about being transformed to transform. And the Echo students are a great illustration of that. But I also know that I take a risk anytime that we march people up here and we celebrate part of the body. There's other parts that go, hey, God's doing good stuff over here too, right? And so I just wanted to encourage you as North Rock. We couldn't do this kind of ministry without your support, your love, your giving, your prayers, and those things. So what we celebrate in them, we all take part in, amen? That we're all part of a greater work that God is doing than we could ever do on our own individually. But I'd also, you know, say in that, that the same thing that God's doing in their lives, because they've taken a season to really seek him and serve him and get to know his voice and his heart and his passion and life for them, it's the same thing that he wants to do in all of us. In other words, they're graduating from a program, but they're not graduated from the work that God wants to do in their lives, right? That he's always transforming us into one glory to the next as he transforms us into his likeness, knowing the good things that he has for us, right? That we are all on this journey somewhere along the path of pursuing relationship, walking this journey with Jesus out, knowing that there are shifts, there are changes, there are seasons, and there are new starts for us all. So again, that's what we're talking about today, and I'd like to just share a couple of verses, actually one section from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but kind of the key verse, although I think our Echo student had a better scripture to illustrate what we're doing. So just pretend like that was in my notes, okay, and then we'll all just say we preached it together, right? But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19 reminds us that we are here not to compete against one another, not to compare ourselves against one another. Scriptures say that's unwise. It's not a good idea. But rather, he says that we are here to complement and complete the work that he wants to do in us. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19 is a great verse for what we're seeing described in the lives of these Echo students. And it simply says this. It says, this means that anyone, everybody say anyone, who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Love that word. I love the movement in the word begun, right? That it's just started. It's just starting to unfold in our lives. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling others to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he has given us this wonderful message of reconciliation. It's a good word for what we say when we say we're transformed to transformed. It's that idea that God is so good to us that he not only wants to reveal himself as good in our lives, but he wants to express his goodness through us to others who may not know that yet, right? Reminds me, this entire series that we're talking about is we're going to be looking at the book of Acts and the journey of the Apostle Paul as he came into a relationship with Jesus and began to walk out the ministry of reconciliation that he had. How many of you guys know the Apostle Paul, or Saul is referred to, is one of those that we all just kind of go, man, he's like a super apostle. Like he was like had a cape or something. He had to have something, you know. I mean, he was the guy that they said at times, you know, pray and things just broke loose all the time. He wrote a great portion of the New Testament. He is known for going along the way on the adventure that God had for him in seeing new churches, new places of faith started up in a very difficult period of time, right? That the reason that we stand here is because a guy named Saul or Paul had an encounter with Christ, and if you know any of his background, he was very zealous. He was a Bible teacher of the Jewish sect not Sadducees but the Pharisees. Look, you guys know your Bible better than your pastor. Give yourselves a hand, right? So that meant that when Jesus showed up, and there's all this talk about this guy's, he's going to die, he's going to be hung on the cross, he's going to be raised from the dead, and this whole thing happened when Jesus went to the cross and was resurrected from the grave. Paul was one of those who was out seeking Christians, people that confessed this faith, to kill them. They pursued them from town to town to town to not just embarrass them, not just contradict them, not just make fun of them, but to kill them. And along that way, in Acts chapter 9, we read about an encounter that Saul has with Jesus. And he's going along and he's pursuing them. He's got, you know, he's kind of like that bloodhound. He's got a taste, you know, he's got the smell and the scent, and he's chasing them. And Jesus shows up and makes himself known to him and blinds him. And so that's where we're going to pick up this story, verses 17 through 31. And I love that this is the place we're starting, because how many of you guys would agree with me today that we've all been spiritually blind at times? That really, the work that God does in clearing up our perception is a work that he does in an instant, but over and over and over, we have to go back and get that clear eye check, right? And how many of you guys know we've got friends out there that are still spiritually blind because they have not yet come into that relationship that we just read about is for all people, right? That ministry of reconciliation, that is what's happening. And so that's where we find Paul. He's been killing people. He's been zealous about his faith as a Jewish leader, and then he gets blinded by Jesus. And Jesus basically confronts him and says, hey, slow your roll, man. What are you doing? You're killing my people. You're coming against the work that I'm doing. And so here he is, he's blinded, and a guy named Ananias shows up on the scene. Verse 17 says this. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me to you that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized, and afterwards he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogues, saying that he is indeed the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed, and they said, isn't this the same man who caused devastation amongst Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they asked. Now take just a quick pause there. I know some of us probably have some reputations that we carried into this church, right? Before we knew God, when we were spiritually blind, we did some stuff, right? We've done some stuff. But I don't think anybody that's sitting here, if you are, I'd like to meet you, because I want to keep an eye on you, right? Would be known for what we just read about him, right? I lost my spot. Afterward, where are we at? What did I last say, you guys? Yep, all right, we got this. So, I'm still lost, sorry. What was the last thing that I said? Thank you, you got to speak up more. Yeah, thank you. All who heard him were amazed. Isn't this the same man who caused such devastation? There we are, we found it. Devastation amongst Jesus' followers in Jerusalem, they asked. And didn't he come here to arrest them and to take them in chains to the leading priests? Saul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. After a while, some of the Jews plotted together to kill him, and they were watching for him day and night at the city gate so they could murder him. But Saul was told about their plot. So during the night, some of the other believers lowered him in a large basket through the opening in a city wall. And when Saul arrived in Jerusalem after escaping, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe that he had truly become a believer. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles, told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. He debated with some of the Greek-speaking Jews, but they tried to murder him. And when the believers heard about this, they took them down to Caesarea, Caesarea, and sent him away to Tarsus, his hometown. Don't you hate it when your brain argues with itself about how you just pronounce something? And it basically says this, because he went on this journey, because he went through the persecutions that he did, that the church then had peace through Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord and with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. And then it just has this little tagline. It says, and it grew in numbers. Now, that's a good place to be, isn't it? That the great adventure, the reason that the churches exist is because Paul knew that Jesus didn't want to just heal his blindness for his own sake, right? That he had a grander plan, and that somehow that was connected to the work that God would do through him. And it says that he started a ministry, that things were going well in that ministry, and then what happened? They wanted to murder him. Now, I know we've all had some people look at us funny when they find out we're Christians or pastors or any of those things. But very few of us have ever had to leave in a basket because we're preaching the message of Jesus, right? That's what he did. And so then they call him back to Jerusalem. And so he's preaching the word with boldness. And what happens? Now they try to murder him again, right? And they run him off in just a mere 14 days. And then he ends up going back to kind of his hometown. And that's where we get a lot of the works that he's done there. So a couple of thoughts that might help all of us along the way in this great adventure with Jesus. First one is simply this, that Saul was sponsored and sent. That Saul didn't just start the super apostle, right? That people had to see him, develop him, invite them in, and have a relationship with him at great risk, right? I mean, we know what his reputation was. Can you imagine being Ananias? Jesus says, hey, that Saul guy, the guy that you guys are all hiding from, why don't you go talk to him? He's blind right now. How many guys want to sign up for that job? Right? Ooh, yeah, I'll take that one. But he went and he did it. And Ananias prays for him and he receives his sight. Then it says later on that the disciples, the ones that he was hunting, then received him, worked with him, partnered with him, and then sent him back out again. And then later it says that he even stayed with the apostles. Right? So in other words, he started a ministry for 3 years. It came to a conclusion, a thud, a halt, where he was saying, man, we're seeing all this fruit, and now I have to run for my life again. And he goes back to Jerusalem, and he says, all right, now I've got some people around me. I got the apostles. We're really going to make things happen now. And he only lasted 2 weeks. Then he goes back to his hometown, and God does some really good stuff in his life. And we read a lot about that in the New Testament of the works and the new churches that were started. And he spends 14 years there. But this is the point that I'm making here, is that in order for us to have a Saul, he had to be sponsored and sent by somebody. And it took 17 years of his life to get to the place where we have such great respect for what he's done. Not because of who he is, but because of who he is, right? Because he does the same thing in all of us who are willing to yield to the name of Jesus. Different stories, but the same core process. That he wants to attract, connect, train, and send us on mission for what he has for us. So Saul's salvation started something in him. It caused him to go on mission with Jesus, to experience. I mean, can you imagine sitting around the campfire with Paul? Huh? Hey, Paul, what was it like to be blinded by Jesus, right? What was it like when they had to lower you? Weren't you the guy that they had to lower out of the basket? Because they were like totally going to get you, right? So Saul had to be sponsored and sent. He had to be sponsored, he had to be sent. But Paul also, referred to as Saul in the scriptures, was persecuted and promoted. He was persecuted and promoted. How many of you guys would sign up for the promotion piece? Let's be honest. I'll be promoted in Jesus, absolutely. Well, part of that is the persecution that goes with it, right? See, here's the truth about your pastor. Okay, here it is in all of its glory. I like the promotion without the pain, please. Without the persecution, right? And yet I know when I speak to the Lord, when I know the history of what he's done in my life and in a lot of other people's lives and in the story of Paul's life, is that no one gets the comfort road. That he's, if we're going to grow in him, that there's pressure. Right, Matthew? There's strength that comes from his work in our lives. See, Paul was persecuted and promoted in great seasons of fruitfulness and in seasons that were probably really difficult for him. really difficult for him. So, you know, I say this, you know, as softly as I can, that in today's world, as we've seen throughout history, there are people suffering for the very message that we're here celebrating today. That we know some of them, some of us have been to those countries, some of us have seen that persecution, some of us have lived through various levels of persecution, but not many that sit in here can say we've had the same experience that Paul has had, or what we see in some other countries right now. And so this is what I'd say, just a side note, sidebar on this topic of persecution. Number one is that we should be a people that pray for those that are under persecution. And what I find sometimes because of our media addiction is sometimes we can end up with a compassion apathy where we kind of go, oh man, stinks to be them, huh? Right? And what Jesus is saying, same way we celebrate together, we suffer together. And that we see that work in the lives of the people here, that those that suffer, we suffer along with them, and those that are persecuted, that we pray and we support. And here's the second part, even more important than praying for them, because we all can do that, right? But here's my challenge. In this great adventure, risk something for the message that they bear. Risk something for the message that we're bearing here. We pray and we risk the same way that Paul does, because we can't be promoted in Christ without being willing to be persecuted. Right on cue, my man. Right on cue. So his journey led him to experience persecution before, during, and after great seasons of promotion or significant kingdom impact that he made. Okay? And this is all that I have to say, you know, on that topic to complete it is we're all going to experience desert times, right? Moses did, right? Paul went through persecution. We're all going to have transitional times in our lives where God's changing something. We can't quite figure out what's happening. We're all going to have seasons of seeding the work and not being the harvesters of the work, right? And they can be lonely and, if we're honest, isolating and frustrating and painful emotionally. But when we yield to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, they can also yield resolve to the sovereign will and the sovereign work of the Lord as he ministers to us and confirms his calling, his direction, and his steps for how we would continue on the great adventure that he's called us to. Amen? Just simply saying, we live in a microwave generation. We want our information in an instant. Very little significant kingdom work gets done in the short term. Very little happens in immediacy. But over a long duration of time of us continuing to do what he's doing in us, we see strength and growth and seasons like we read there in verse 31, right? Season of great peace for the church, right? As the followers of Christ walked in the fear of the Lord and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, okay? So Paul was sponsored and sent. He was persecuted and promoted. And this is the final point that I'm going to make today is simply this, that Paul was supported and sustained by the Holy Spirit in their life. That Paul was supported and sustained by the Holy Spirit in those moments when the church couldn't be there to support him because he's on the run for his life, right? Go back and look at it, verses 17, 19, 25, 27 through 28. Paul was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit so that he could be sustained and supported in those seasons when all we can do is lean into the Lord. So Paul was supported and sustained by the Holy Spirit, and this is kind of the culminating piece. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up. I'm going to ask our two graduates to come up. I'm going to ask Pastor Johnny and Debbie Mares to come up as we kind of transition out of our message here into practicing some of what we're preaching here. It's just simply this, that Paul was on a journey, but his journey wasn't simply for himself. It was a part of a larger vision that God had for the community that God had called him to. Saul was sponsored and sent. He was persecuted and he was promoted and he was supported and sustained by the Holy Spirit so that promotion in his life, the persecution that he endured, would strengthen and secure the future of God's work in the midst of the community and the place that they were called. That when we suffer, there's redemptive purpose in it. That God wants to do something in us and in the people that see our lives because of it. And today, what I would like to do in just wrapping up our message today is, one, publicly thank you guys for 2 years of helping to strengthen and secure what God's doing here at North Rock. And I know that you had many, many moments where you were poured back into by a lot of different people. But I thought that your guys' graduation would be a great way to close our message today in reminding you that there's still a great adventure out there. As much as you've grown, as proud as we are of you, there's more to be had. That this is the beginning, not the end. And that if you'll continue to press in and pursue God the way that you've done with us here, we plan on seeing some capes on these young ladies as well. Some super apostles standing before us right here. So Debbie, I want to hand it off to you guys, and Pastor John, I'm going to have you pray over them. But Debbie, let's give us certificates.
I wanted to explain to you what it takes to complete our program. These two young women before you have completed 2 years of Life Pacific Bible College classes. They've served in all North Rock ministry departments. They've developed 3 ministry opportunities. They've completed over 4,000 hours of training, service, and ministry in 20 months. They exhibit spiritual discipline and growth. That's what they've done.
We celebrate that.
This is who they are. Kristen Exley. She is a fiercely loyal person. She's perceptive. She digs for the truth and understanding. She digs. She's a defender of her faith. She's ferocious. Abby. Abby's loving, gentle, and a giver. She gently challenges. We've all seen Abby. You know she's going after somebody, but she just does it in such a sweet way. And she's just hungry for truth. I've watched these young women develop boldness in their walk and develop boldness in their ministry. As I stood in Honduras and watched them pursue people in the streets of Honduras and lay hands on them and pray with authority, you know that they're following hard after God. Today, I am proud to present Kristen Exley and Abrielle Watson to North Rock Church as graduates of our Emerging Leadership Network ECHO program.
Yeah. As Pastor Johnny gets ready to pray a prayer blessing over them, we'd like to ask any of the family members that are here to celebrate with us, if you'd like to come forward. We're just going to lay hands on these young ladies and we're going to send them out. If you are a host home of either of these two ladies and you'd like to come up and pray with us, and as always, any of the staff or church council would like you to come forward as well as we pray a prayer of affirmation over what God's doing in their lives. And for the rest of us who are in the room, we'd ask that you can either sit or stand, but you'd extend your hand to what God's doing here, just a way of saying, yes, we believe that God's doing something in their lives, and we're excited about what we're going to be hearing about the ministry in their lives.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, it's such an honor to celebrate what you've done in the lives of these two tremendous young ladies. And Lord, together as a family and as a church, we agree with the calling that you have on their hearts and lives. And Lord, we also agree that part of sponsoring means that this is not an end, but it's just the beginning of a new chapter and season. And so as a church, we want to recognize the calling on their lives and agree that that means change. And so we send them today into their next season in joy. In celebration, we release them, Lord, to all that you have for them. And we speak life and blessing over their hopes, over their dreams, and over their futures. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity we've had to just receive the blessing of their personalities and their joy in their life these last 2 years. But Lord, we're also eager to watch as they continue to grow in serving you and celebrating you in the community. So Lord, we stand with them and we honor them today, but we also agree together that this is not an end. And we support you in all that God's called you to do and be. We agree with that calling, and we sponsor you and send you forth in the name of Jesus Christ and with blessing and grace on your lives. Lord, thank you for these two. We celebrate them, and we love you, Lord, and what you're doing in them and through them in Jesus' name. And if you agree, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. That's good, that's good, that's good. One more time. Let's give it up for our Echo graduates. Thank you for all of your hard work and service and love that you've expended on our behalf. You know, I'd like to just kind of close our service at this point, but I can't because we have one more order of kind of family business that we need to tend to today. For those of you that are with us consistently, you know that this is the last week that Pastor Sean is going to be leading worship for us up here on the stage. And let's give all collective awe. So we celebrate and we grieve together as a family. But we wanted to take some time publicly this morning and tell you, Sean, just how much we love you. We appreciate the investment that you and Deanna. And Deanna, if you'd like to come up, you're welcome to. And the family have invested in us in the last year and a half that you've been here. We've known for some time that there's a transition in place, but we've just begun to talk about it publicly in the last couple of weeks. But I just wanted to take a moment today and allow the congregation to express their appreciation for what you've done in ministry and what God's doing in your guys' lives, and to believe and pray with you that we're celebrating a passage, much like we heard about Paul, as he's sending you on to something greater that we're all going to look back on in the near future after all of our tears dry up because of the great love that we share, and say, God is good, right? God's done a great work in them. So I'm going to ask our council and any staff that would like to come up, and we're going to pray over you guys as a family. But we also, on the behalf of the council, wanted to give you guys a gift to say thank you for your dedicated and amazing gifting that you have shared with us here at North Talk over the past year and a half. And also, as part of that gift, as part of our commitment to honoring you and your family, the council has very generously agreed to pay you guys through the end of July as a way of helping you find that next place. Okay? Look at me. Yeah. God has something great for you guys.
Yes.
And I think you're within hours, if not days, of finding out what that next step, that next assignment is going to be for you and your family. We love you guys, and we just appreciate the heartfelt and the character that you guys have shared here at North Rock. So, Don, would you do us the great favor and pray a prayer of blessing over Sean, Deanna? Thank you, Jesus.
Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for Sean and Deanna and for their family and just the ministry that they've had here in this church. Lord, it's been a pleasure to get to know them. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless them in the days, the weeks, the years ahead. Lord, we just pray for a direction and for wisdom and, Lord, for guidance as you guide them to the next chapter in their lives. Lord, we just glorify you in the fact that you have raised them up to be servants of you.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, they have served you well, and we thank you for that, and we bless you. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do in their lives, and we ask your blessing upon them, that you might be glorified in everything they do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen. you show your appreciation for the Schott family? That's good. Well, now that everybody's on their feet, did just want to close out our service and we'll dismiss in a prayer. We know that many of you want to personally speak to any of our graduates or Sean. There will be time for that right after the service here. But did feel like it would be remiss on my part to talk about this journey with Jesus without giving an opportunity for people to begin to start on that journey with him. So whether this is your first time or your 500th time, we've got a prayer that we pray around here fairly often that we're going to put up right now, that we're going to pray together collectively, and then I'm going to close us in prayer. So let's pray it, whether it's your first time or your 500th time this morning, like it's our first time. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you came to the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, to living in fellowship with God's people, following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So if that's the prayer that you prayed for the very first time or a prayer that you prayed because you've been gone for a long time, I would love to meet you. I would love to celebrate that moment with you. Otherwise, I am going to close us in prayer. And after the service, we'll have people available to pray with about any need in your life. And also, our family will be here to just connect and talk through anything that you'd like to share with the Schotts or Echo graduates. All right? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love, your generosity, and your care over our lives. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of a journey that we can't quite find the coordinates of at times, Lord, that you are faithful, that you are good, you are generous, and you are gracious to us. And so we pray for your direction, your empowerment, and your enduring fruit to come out of the individuals that we're praying with and the collective work of your body here at North Rock. In Jesus' name we pray and trust. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here in North Rock.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.